Crews in the Texas Panhandle are fighting the largest wildfire in state history. The Smokehouse Creek Fire has burned about 1.1 million acres and as of Sunday afternoon was just 15% contained. For context, that makes the fire larger than the entire state of Rhode Island. It stretches across Hutchinson, Roberts, and Hemphill counties. It's even burning into western Oklahoma. Before this one, the largest Texas wildfire was the East Amarillo Complex Fire, which burned about 907,000 acres in 2006. Last week, Governor Greg Abbott issued a disaster declaration for 60 counties impacted by the wildfires and announced that FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, approved a fire management assistance grant. That means that Texas will be eligible for 75% reimbursement from the federal government for costs associated with fighting those fires. Abbott also granted waivers for the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, Department of Motor Vehicles, and Department of Public Safety that temporarily waive regulations that could slow recovery efforts. I'm Chris Blake, and on this episode of Texas Wants to Know, I spoke to Texas State Network's Agriculture Director, Chelsea Wade, about the fire. She's been with TSN since 2018. So, Chelsea, there are wildfires covering a lot of the Panhandle right now, not just the Smokehouse Creek Fire. There's a few other ones. So what's the current status up there?
Well, it's difficult to say, but a lot of the fires have spread and then kind of retreated a little bit, and then they got the upper hand, and then they've kind of grown again. So we have four active wildfires currently burning. The Grapevine Creek Fire, it has burned almost 35,000 acres. It's about 60% contained. And then the Smokehouse Creek Fire, obviously the largest wildfire in our state's history. Over a million acres have burned there. It's only 15% contained. And then you have the Windy Deuce Fire, which is also a really big fire in Moore County. I know it's not getting a lot of attention because the Smokehouse Creek Fire is getting most of the attention. It's burned about 144,000 acres. It's 55% contained. And then you have the Magenta Fire in Oldham County. That one's about 3,200 acres and 85% contained.
It kind of just goes to show the scale of the Smokehouse Creek Fire when there are other fires burning tens of thousands of acres that are barely getting any coverage at all.
Yeah, it's very true. I think that a lot of the area that is covered by those other fires is not so much of the homes and livestock and things that have burned out. Don't get me wrong, there's been a lot of homes that have been destroyed by the other fires, and they definitely do deserve their place in being talked about. But I think that the Smokehouse Creek Fire has just been so detrimental, and a lot of the focus has been put there because they're not able to get the upper hand on the Smokehouse Creek like they have the other ones.
So what has allowed that one to grow so quickly?
I think you just have to look at the landscape there in the Panhandle. It's just rocky. There's brush. There's tumbleweeds. There's everything that you can think of that the Panhandle is made of. And so there's nothing really to stop the fire. There's no breaks in the landscape. And so once a fire gets going, it just spreads rapidly. Then you have the dry timber from the last couple of years when we've had a drought situation. And then you've got the wind that's also a factor, and it's just low humidity. So all three of those things, if you get them together, it's ripe for wildfires anywhere.
I know it's a constantly changing situation, but what do we know so far about the toll in terms of lives, in terms of homes, in terms of livestock that have all been lost so far?
It's been difficult to say because the fire is still raging, and so they haven't been able to get into these burned out areas. We do know at least two people at this point have died. There's likely going to be more that they find. In terms of homes, I know I heard one county commissioner say that at least 1,000 homes had been damaged or destroyed. And then in terms of the livestock, I mean, that's cattle country. And so at this point, they're estimating thousands of livestock have been either are still missing or have been killed by the fires. And then you have the grain storage companies and things like that. There's been, I think they said, 7 grain elevators and seed companies that have reported total losses.
Yes, there's a lot of damage to homes and things like that, too. But this is also a lot of people's livelihoods in that part of the state, in the ranching industry. So how does this affect ranchers moving forward? How do they come out of this?
Fortunately, there are programs in place that can help. It's kind of like an insurance for your home. However, it doesn't really repair them. It doesn't get them back to full capacity. The Panhandle is home to about 85% of our cattle population in the state. And so when you think of it in that terms, most of the cattle are there. And I think Sid Miller put it most appropriately that he was talking about some areas, some towns have more cattle than people. And so it's going to be devastating, not only for the farmer themselves, but the state's economy as a whole. But some of these farmers may not come back, that they may have to move on to a different job. And so it's been devastating to see not only are the animals dying, but these farmers have lost pretty much everything.
How does this fire or this group of fires compare to wildfire seasons that you've covered in the past?
I think this fire is one of the worst that I have ever seen. The pictures and the videos, I can't imagine what it's like to actually be there because the pictures and videos are just a lot to take in. I know that there was the Eastland Complex fire back in 2022. That one was a pretty devastating wildfire. And then I wasn't around for the East Amarillo Complex fire. I wasn't here covering those kind of stories. So I didn't go through that one. So this is one of the worst ones I've ever seen.
What's the outlook for this one? It's 15% contained as of Sunday. What does that mean moving forward?
It's kind of hard to speculate because you don't know the weather conditions, but I do know that they have finally been able to get planes up there that can really help rapidly get this fire under control. In the past, when there's been big fires like this, I mean, it's been weeks just to get it out. And then you're talking about months for the recovery. Speaking in terms of agriculture, a lot of these farmers can't turn those cows back onto the land. And it's even more detrimental that it's the time of year when the mamas are having babies and are not going to be able, some of them won't be able to wean the calves appropriately and are going to require a lot more care. So it's going to take a lot of coming together and being able to place these cattle on land that there's grass and things for them to eat. But in terms of recovery, that's going to take months.
So what does this fire tell us, if anything, about what we can expect for the rest of the season?
I hope this is the worst of it. I hope that it tells us that, okay, we've made it through the wildfire season. Unfortunately, in Texas, the wildfire season lasts a really long time. We have been in the El Nino pattern. We will be moving back into La Nina, which usually means dry conditions. And you have to go back a couple of years when it's just been devastatingly dry. There's just no moisture. So if we have dry conditions going into the spring, we'll probably have more wildfires.
I'm Chris Blake at News Radio 1080 KRLD in Dallas-Fort Worth. Thanks for joining me for this episode of Texas Wants to Know. If you like the show, please give us a rating and a review wherever you listen to podcasts. I wrote, edited, and produced this episode with editorial support from Cooper Mall and original music by Michael Eisenstein. Odyssey's managing producer for National News Podcasts is Myron Kaplan.